Let's pray, guys. Let's pray. Dear kind and heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for getting us through the night, Lord. We ask that you be with us as we study your word, as we gain wisdom and understanding, as we encourage one another, strengthen one another, as we learn the things that we desperately need to learn, even if we don't think we need to learn them. I ask that you guide us to all truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, guys. Shall we put you up here? Let's put you up here. So as I said, while I was in the bathroom this morning, guys, questioning God. No, I weren't questioning him, but I was like having a little convo while I was in the bathroom, having a little convo with God, saying, Wagwan, what's going on? You know, hello, please help me. Hello, is it me? And here is the devotion. Look at the title. Look at the title for today. I'm telling you, the amount of times this has happened, the amount of times this has actually happened to me is quite funny, that I've been, whatever I've literally just come off my knees praying about, and then I come on here to you guys, and the title is like, okay, I'm listening. Do you know what I mean? The title's like, okay, I'm listening. Do you know what I mean? When I opened the book, I was like, okay. Because everything, for me, it comes under this right now. I'm just doubting. Whether it is a case of, I just want to know what's going on, I just want to see Wagwan or whatever, it's all under the heading of doubt. You are doubting him and what he is able to do. You are doubting him and you're saying, I can't see what you're doing, so therefore something must be going wrong. I don't understand what's going on, so therefore something must be going wrong. I must be doing something bad. Something must be broken. You know, either I'm broken or you're broken. One of us is broken. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So it's all coming from doubt. And we know that God doesn't put doubt in our heads, guys. The doubt, the disappointment, the delaying of things all comes from the enemy, okay? So I hope this is for someone. This is definitely for me. I'm going to be reading it like I'm talking to myself. So I hope this is for someone too, okay? So we're reading Psalm 31, verse 24. I want to read the whole of the psalm, by the way, because I think it's such a beautiful psalm. So we're going to read the whole psalm. But the end of the psalm says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. You know, as I said to you, people like to shorten these verses down. Morning, Vax. People like to shorten these verses down, guys. And you'll hear a lot of people quote, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. They leave it there. They don't finish it off. It's be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Who is he? Is he going to strengthen your heart? Who to? To all who what? Hope in the Lord. Where is your hope placed? Is your hope placed in yourself? Is your hope placed in your job? Is your hope placed in your marriage? Where is your hope placed? And you know how you can quickly figure out where your hope is placed? Who are you focused on? Are you focused on your ability to fix the problem? Or are you focused on your husband's ability to fix the problem? Where's your focus at? Because I'm telling you, this morning, my focus was on me. How can I fix this? How can I make sure this works out? How can I make sure this doesn't happen or whatever? No, who is the focus on? The focus should be on the Lord. That is where your hope is. That is who you're hoping to fix the problem. Nobody else. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So I want to read the whole verse, guys. Chapter. I want to read the whole chapter, okay? So let's start from... This is a beautiful chapter, by the way. If you are feeling really down, like Phoebe is at the moment, if you're feeling a bit low, guys, read these words. And, you know, we have to really believe that these... The same way David is talking to himself or talking to the Lord about these things, we have to believe that this is us. We are David in this scenario. We're David, okay? It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Where is your trust? Do you really trust him? Do you really think he can do what you're asking him to do? "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength." Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. He's not saying, don't have the net there. He's not saying zap them away so they can't put the net down. He's saying, pull me out, rescue me from the net, rescue me. "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed." Do you see that, guys? "For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my sin." We are weakened because of sin, guys. We are weakened because of our iniquity. It says, "I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. I've heard the slander of many." If you've heard people slate you, if you've heard people slander you, if you've heard people literally gossip, cuss you out behind your back, to your face. David said he heard the slander of many. He heard it. Fear was on every side of him. Yeah, he heard people devising, plotting against his life, plotting against him. "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. For my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Listen, guys, how great is thy goodness? How great is his goodness for who? For the world? No, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, that obey thee, that respect thee. He has such a goodness for them, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of man. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Are you hearing this, guys? Love the Lord. Why? Because he will preserve the faithful. The faithful. We have to be faithful. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. We have to be faithful, guys. We have to be faithful. I think you can see. Let me jump down 2 seconds. Good time. He wasn't having a good time. This isn't a cheerful prayer. This isn't a whoopee-doo, we're walking through the park. You know, he wasn't having a good time. He had people trying to take his life. He had people who were bullying him, cussing him out, you know, speaking really horrible things about him. Literally trying to take his sanity, guys. Trying to take his sanity. You didn't hear him once say, Lord, why is this happening to me? He didn't once say, Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? He didn't. He just said, Lord, help me. Yeah. He said, you know, stop their words from bothering me. Rescue me from their attacks. Right. He said, you have promised to the faithful. If we're faithful to you, you will do what? You will protect us. So we have to see it just like he saw it. He wasn't saying, why me? He wasn't saying, make sure that they don't even do these things to me. He was saying, rescue me from these attacks because they're going to do it. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it. You can't control what other people are going to do to you, but you can ask. You can ask to be rescued. You can ask for assistance to get out of these things. So I hope, listen, when I read it, I was happy. I was happy when I read that. It really made me think, wow, if David can have that attitude whilst going through all the things he's going through, we can try, because the promise is clear, guys. If we are faithful, he has what? Unnumbered things. Unnumbered goodness. Is it unnumbered? He has so much good to give to us. Let's read the devotion. Okay. It says, even Christians of long experience. Devotion. Okay. It says, even Christians of long experience. Is it for anyone? If this is for you, right, just put number one in the chat. Just put a number one in the chat. If this is for you, put a number one in the chat. Even Christians of long experience are often assaulted with the most terrible doubts and waverings. The most terrible doubts and waverings. You must not consider that for these temptations, your case is hopeless. You must not consider that for these temptations, your case is hopeless, guys. I told you this morning, I woke up, I was like, man, it ain't going to work out for me. It's not going to work out for me. Even if you have been a Christian for 50 years, you are not opposed, never going to experience doubt and waverings. You're not, it's normal. It's part of the course. But we must consider that these temptations are not for no good. What did Cammy said? Cammy said it's character building. There's a reason. Hope in God, trust in him, and rest in his promises. When the devil comes with his doubts and unbeliefs, shut the door of your heart. Shut your eyes so that you will not dwell upon his hellish shadow. Lift them up where they can behold the things which are eternal, and you will have strength every hour. Not once a week, not once a year. When we lift our eyes up, focus on Jesus, we will be strengthened every hour. As soon as the doubt comes in, don't even think about it. As soon as the unbelief comes in, shut the door on unbelief. We don't talk about those things here. We don't think about those things here. We have to be, we have to really not even entertain those thoughts, guys. We have to focus on Jesus and say, no, he's promised. This is what he says. The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. The trial you are going through, guys, that will test who you believe in. Because you know what? God doesn't take lip service. And I say this to you all the time, but it's the truth. Even me coming on here every day, reading with you guys, praying with you guys, he don't take lip service. You think he's going to sit, let me sit here telling you all this stuff and he's not going to test me out? Do you think he's going to let me sit here, guys, chatting all this stuff to you? Yeah. And he's not going to test it out. He is. He doesn't want lip service. He wants to see, do you really believe in me? Do you really have faith? Not when it's all going nice, not when everything is swimmingly nice in your life, not when you have all the money you have, the house you have, the car you have, the health you have. Will you still believe when you have zero? Will you still believe? Will you still have faith that I can restore, I can replenish, I can heal? Because a lot of us, me included, as soon as those things start changing, we start to have, maybe you're actually doing something right. It says the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. It makes you valiant to fight the battle of the Lord. Satan connects with everyone that will connect with him. If he can get those that have an experience in religion, they are his most effectual agents to reach just such men and compass their souls with unbelief. Hear me clearly, guys. The best agents the devil has are ex-believers. The best agents he has, they're not the atheist. No, they're not the atheist. They are ex-Christians. Those are the best agents. You cannot afford to let any doubts come into your mind. You can't afford it. Do not please the devil enough to tell about the terrible burdens you are carrying. Every time you do it, Satan laughs that his soul can control you and that you have lost sight of Jesus Christ, your Redeemer. So what she's saying is every time we're whining and moaning about our troubles, hear me clearly. There's a difference between whining and then the difference between sharing. Difference. Big difference, guys. Big difference. Okay. You can share. You can talk. You can ask for advice. That's not what we're saying here. When we are whining and making God seem ineffective with how we talk. Well, this is not going to happen. Oh, well, why is this happening? Literally, when we make him ineffective, Satan is laughing at us. He's laughing at us going, ha, ha, see, I fooled her. Look at her, focused on herself again. She's taken her eyes off Jesus. She's weak enough now. I can come in and do what I need to do. Because he knows our only strength lies in focusing on the Lord. When we take our eyes from the Lord, we are down for the count. He can knock us out with one foul swoop. But when we stay focused on Jesus, his powers are ineffective. It says we are to show forth him who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is by living faith that we rest in that light. It is by living faith that we rejoice in that light every day. We are not to talk about doubts and trials because they grow bigger every time we talk about them. Don't you realize that? When we talk about certain things, guys, it's like the weight of it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And I hope I'm clear when I'm saying this. Like I told you, there's things happening behind the scenes with me. You know there's things, but you don't know what those things are. If I was to tell you really what's going on, I know I'm focusing too much on these things. Yeah, everyone's got stuff happening in their lives. Everyone has. But I'm not going to focus my attention on it too much because I really do feel the more you look at it, the bigger it gets. The more you talk about it, the heavier it gets. You can't talk your way out of a problem. You can't. Every time we talk them, Satan has gained the victory. But when we say, I will commit the keeping of my soul unto him as unto a faithful witness, then we testify that we have given ourselves to Jesus Christ without any reservation. And then God gives us light and we rejoice in him. Instead of talking about these things, we should say, I've given it to God. I've given it to Jesus. He's dealing with it. It's not my problem anymore. I've given it to God. Because as soon as we start entertaining it, we are literally giving it to Satan. So we're giving it to God, guys. We have a problem. We can't figure it out ourselves. Jesus is dealing with it. And then he will give us strength and we can rejoice in him. He will give us light and we will rejoice in him. The soul that loves God rises above the fog of doubt. He gains a bright, broad, deep living experience and becomes meek and Christ-like. His soul is committed to God, hid with Christ in God. As I said, it ain't easy, guys, but it's necessary. It is not easy, but it's necessary. And I am going to put this into action literally for myself today. I'm going to put this in action.